We are so grateful to all of you who teach. We love you. We appreciate you more than we can say. We have great confidence in you. To teach effectively and to feel you are succeeding is demanding work indeed, but it is worth it. We can receive no greater call.
Welcome to Teaching No Greater Call. As a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you have the opportunity to teach the gospel. As a parent, son, daughter, sister, brother, or neighbor, you have the opportunity to teach.
We welcome you to Teaching No Greater Call on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, Second Counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and I'm joined today with Brian Hansbrough and Erica Brown. I'd like to personally welcome both of you today.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Both Brian and Erica have vast teaching backgrounds. They've been teaching in both professional settings as well as in church settings and in other areas, family and in with friends, I'm sure, because I'm a firm believer that we're teachers in every setting. As a matter of fact, I remember my father used to say, you cannot not teach. Now, I know there's a lot of negatives in that setting, but I think that the meaning comes across loud and clear. So we welcome you. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to learn from what you have to share with us today. Today, we will be discussing using a variety of methods, particularly teaching with a variety of methods and learning with a variety of methods, choosing appropriate methods and choosing effective methods. In our previous time together, we actually talked about the principles behind using a variety in our teaching so that learning might be accentuated. And I was hoping that we might be able to focus on what that looks like, how that happens. I'm hoping to draw upon your expertise, your experience, things that you have learned yourself or used in your own teaching to give a flavor of how we do this. I know a lot of teachers are saying, I want to do well. They're hungry. That's been my experience in traveling throughout the world and talking and learning about teaching and learning is members of the church are hungry to do well. They want to do well. They have an earnest desire to really teach the gospel well. But to be honest, one of the things that they say is, we're not quite sure how to do this. So we say, well, use a variety of methods. Okay, I'm gonna do this. But what does that mean exactly, and what is a variety, and what are we talking about, and how can we do that? So I'm going to lean upon your expertise here and your experience and things that you've done and done well or maybe done that didn't work out so well to help us give this context. Now, before we start, I think what I'd like to do is I'm going to hand out a piece of paper here with little numbers on the top, and when the time comes, I'm going to have you read them off. Now, I'm half joking on this one. I think that this is a Latter-day Saint phenomenon. I've never seen it in any other classroom setting where we love to pass out little things with numbers on the top and then just say, okay, number one, and they read it. Okay, who is number two? Who is number two? And stuff.
And we count that as participation, which I don't think it necessarily is. Well, it is participation, but
okay,
it's not
good.
The best form of participation,
you know, Erica,
in all times.
You said that so nicely, and I'm glad you said that, is because we don't want to discount that completely, and I'm kind of teasing about that because I chuckle about it. The reason, to be honest, I chuckle about it, it's the only method that they use.
Right.
And so we go through an entire lesson, and they're using one method of trying to engage learning, which I'm grateful for, but it's the only one that they try. And so it may or may not be very effective, and one might debate that. But I applaud at least that they're trying something, but this is where the variety comes in, is using a different variety. Does that make sense?
Definitely.
So with that in mind, last program we talked a little bit about making sure that we use appropriate methods, that they are appropriate to or at least match the sacredness of the message, whatever that might be that we're teaching. We talked about that it's important that they invite the Spirit and that they teach according to or by the Spirit, as the Spirit would teach. We talked about making sure that we could use methods that engage those learners as well as the teacher, I believe, and making sure that the methods that we choose are purposeful, that they are intentional, that they're used to be able to help us to get somewhere, to experience something together. What are your thoughts when we say that? Okay, so go get them. Go out and teach well and use a variety of methods. So if I'm here to learn, what suggestions would you offer to me to be able to say, I want to try this? Give me some ideas.
Well, for me, I'd say to you, you need to find methods that work for you and don't just try to copy some other person's style of teaching. Now, they might have a certain thing that you feel that you can do and do well, and that's okay. In fact, to be honest, everything that I do as a teacher, I've learned from somebody else.
I'm the same way. I'm a gleaner.
Yes, absolutely. And now, having said that, I've adapted those things to fit me and to fit my personality, and I've looked for different methods in everyday life. And what I'd say to you is you can do it. You can come up with a variety of ways to teach because you're an individual and you have a passion for the gospel. And if all you want to do is share that, then and just start looking around and you'll see so many different things that you can grab and take into a classroom setting to help you share that.
Okay. Good. Good.
One of the things suggested is to look at the lesson manual and then adapt the suggestions there. I think
In the lesson manual. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think often we're given a suggestion and we think that that's the only way it can be done, but that suggestion to adapt it to yourself and your setting is so important that suggestion from the lesson manual is that. It's a suggestion of an effective way, and you can adapt that to your needs and circumstances.
Nicely said. As a matter of fact, if nothing else, it can trigger the opportunity to start to think of different things to accomplish the task or the outcome that you would like to see. Now, I was kind of teasing you when I said, look where is that again? Because here's been my experience in traveling throughout the church and seeing different ways that people are teaching within gospel settings. Some individuals, they will not even look at the lesson manual. The first thing that they're going to go to is they'll go to the internet and they'll go find something that's done there and then they'll try to replicate exactly what's on there. So that's their first source. And I think that's a shame because there's so many good things that could be triggering experiences within that which is produced by the church. There's so many good things actually. And then you have on the other end of the spectrum I've seen where they do not deviate one word from the lesson manual. And it's really kind of fun. And bless their hearts, I'm not poking fun of this in the least, but they'll read everything from the title. And I've even sat in one class where they got to the very bottom of the page and they read the page number, 36. And then they turned the page and then started going through and stuff. Now, I think that a lot of that is not simply because of inexperience, but also they want so desperately to teach what's right. This is good stuff. This is important stuff. But they need the opportunity to see. And I like what you're saying, Erica. It's so nice is use this as a triggering experience, as an opportunity to look at suggestions, to give ideas, not something that's a bad thing to use verbatim if necessary, if that's where you're starting with, or to build upon in that one. That's a good thought.
Well, and it also helps you know what to teach.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's an important thing that I think every teacher ought to look to is what would the prophets have me teach? What would the church leaders have me teach? And when we looked at our manuals, we find a lot of great ideas on what to teach.
You know, this is so important, Brian, and this is such a good point, is keep that in our mind when we step into a classroom. So the manual does give us, like, let's say a block of scripture. So today we're doing Matthew chapter 25. There's a good what. There's a lot in Matthew 25.
Yeah, you bet.
And it'd be hard to teach Matthew 25 in 35 minutes. At least it is.
Definitely. Oh.
So then the question comes is, okay, here is my context. Here's the field that I'm going to plow. Now, there's a lot of things to be done in that acreage. So now, what is it about Matthew 25 that is necessary to be taught, or at least for those individuals that I will be teaching? And I hope that this is an appropriate example, but I remember preparing for general conference talks. That was on my mind the whole time. Okay, when it's all said and done, what is the one thing that I hope that I'm setting out there? And if I'm not going to help people get there to climb that mountain, maybe I didn't do a very good job. The reason I bring this up was it was a fascinating experience for me as a teacher to always keep focused. What is it that we're trying? What is it? What is it of the many things? What is it that I hope more than anything else really comes home? Does that make sense?
Definitely.
And sometimes with that too, Brother Richardson, you have a what in mind. And as you follow the promptings of the Spirit to teach that what, the important thing is that those that you teach may get that what, but they also may get a dozen other whats that they needed to hear. But because the Spirit was brought into that class, they heard other messages that you had no idea that were being given. And that's an important thing.
Thank goodness for that.
Absolutely.
Thank goodness for that. I think we've all had this as teachers where people will come up and bless their hearts that love to share. That's a teacher's reward, right, is saying, thank you so much for today. I learned so much. And I love the part where you talked about how we must always have courage and hope. And I'm sure that all of us have had this experience. You're like, I know, like, I didn't talk about courage and hope.
Exactly.
But the Spirit taught it. Now, here's the important part. And let's keep this in mind as we talk about this variety is. The important part is whatever was happening there was a conduit. It was an opening to allow the Spirit to bring home the essential ingredients. So when we talk about a variety of methods, once again, the methods are only the means to the greater opportunities. And we cannot, at least in my experience and in my understanding of the gospel, which is pretty small, but we cannot dictate, nor can we do what the Spirit does well. We invite and we model ourselves after the teachings and the way that the Spirit teaches, and then the Spirit will do what it does best, which is teach to the center core heart.
And again, our greatest motive is love.
It is. It is.
If we don't have that, and if all we're thinking about is what we're going to do.
That's right.
Then we're not likely to have that Spirit confirm.
Yeah, good point.
What we're trying to do.
Okay, we're teaching youth. Let's even make it even more fun. We're going to be teaching 11 to 13-year-olds, as far as that would be. And we want to teach them a little bit about scriptures. And so here we are in a scripture base, and you love this scripture. What are some ideas of how to use a variety of helping them understand Doctrine and Covenants 64:33? Out of small things, great things shall take place. Be not weary in laying the foundation. We love the scripture. What's a variety of methods that you could use in helping them come to a knowledge of a scripture?
I immediately begin to think, okay, again, I've already to establish a foundation here. I've already prayed to try to understand their needs, and I've already thought about them as individuals, and I've already thought about what I'm trying to get across here. But I think to myself, what will they search? What am I going to have them study and search? What are the words of the prophets? If it's that verse, are there other verses?
Let's just say it's just one verse to make it simple.
Okay, I'm going to have them search.
Okay,
and so I'm going to be thinking about how will I invite them to search.
Okay.
And then I'm going to be thinking, how will they see it in their everyday life?
Okay.
What am I going to do to help them start to make some connections to what does this mean to me in my life today?
Great.
And then I'm going to think, what will I do to encourage them or help them share and strengthen each other?
Okay.
What will they share? What will they say?
Okay.
And if I just think about those three simple things, then I start to think, okay, now –
hang on for a sec. Erica, do you have anything to add to those three simple things? And then, because I'm going to have you keep on going. Now, what do we do next? Okay.
I think just making sure when they understand the words and the concepts, and how will that happen, like Brian has suggested, and how will they take it from understanding it to using it in their daily lives, to applying that verse in their lives, and how can I do that?
Okay, great. Now, Brian, now let's go. Now, so then we do what next? So we were thinking about those things. Okay, great. I got that. Now what? How are you going to help them? You're in the classroom, or Erica, jump in here. You're in the classroom, and you've thought about those things, and now I'm in real-time teaching, and I have my scriptures here. What's a variety of ways that we can do what you're talking about? I've been thinking about it. Now it's actually rubber meets the road. What does this look like?
We started in the last segment talking a little bit about potatoes, you know, and adding a little bit of spice. You're going to read the scripture.
Okay.
And that's what you're going to do. But you could read it silently.
I'm going to read this as the teacher?
You could read it. Students on their own read it. Okay. The teacher reads it. Another pupil reads it. You read it as a class together. You know, there's so many different ways to read a scripture.
And do what?
In unison even.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Everyone together. The count of three, we're all going to read this verse together.
Okay.
But as we read, I want you to look for. I always try to use a look for
now this
activity.
This is really good because now we're twisting a little bit and putting some spice on the potatoes.
Yeah.
So we could start with, and this is a good thing, is we could have the reading. And you actually, Erica, gave a lot of different ways to present those potatoes right there. Different ways, right? Now let's add another spice on it as we have them read it. And then you're going to add the spice of, here's another type of a method is.
Look for.
Look for, meaning go on with that a little bit more.
Well, what are you going to look for? Well, you know, here's the thing. In one verse, it's okay to, at the end of that verse, say, now, what did you see? That's fine. But when you're having a block of scripture where you say, okay, we're going to read these six or seven verses, sometimes it's nice to give them a look for as they're going through those verses, because otherwise you get to the end of that and you ask your question and everybody has to go back in and try to get caught up to where you were going to lead them all along. So I always give them something to look for as I have them read.
No, I might not do this correctly, but I do it for one verse or 20 verses, you know, kind of a thing is I love to look for it. Let's look for, and that could be general or it could be specific. Is that right?
Yeah, it can be general and it can be specific. But remember, the reason why you're doing it is because you are trying to engage that person who says, you mean this verse says something about that?
Sure.
That's relevant to me. So there might be a you know, we all see this. If you look out over your class and half of the class members have their scriptures closed still, you know, you've got to motivate them. And so you say – so you might bring up something that's relevant and say, you know, this verse helps us answer this question that we're talking about.
Sure.
So let's look for it. Let's look for the answer. Let's look for two things that the Lord teaches us in this verse, or look for, you know, whatever it is that we're looking for. But that engages people to say, oh, I'm going to go see what that verse has to say. And then they open those scriptures. And then, again, because they're now participating, they're exercising their agency, the Holy Ghost is now being invited into their heart.
I think it also helps. We've been in those classes where, you know, Sister so-and-so, will you read number two? And they read number two, and then they ask a question. And everybody says, can you read that again? Because they didn't know. As you give them something to look for, they can listen with more intent and therefore have something ready to build upon.
Good. You know, I'll add upon that one too, because this is what I love about this, and we've said this, is once you start talking about this, different methods start to pour out.
Absolutely.
And they're so similar, but they are different, and they're wonderful if they're used effectively. You mentioned we might have to read that again. I have been in situations where I used to think that that was a sign that everything is going bad, but I've seen some teachers do this so masterfully is they'll have it read, and then and this is important, I believe, is teachers should be observing. So they should be observing. And you can see immediately, this one did not go over very well. And so they'll say, you know what? Let's read that one more time and then sometimes insert. And let's look for this part here, or see what you feel about this. Sometimes looking for is see what you feel when this is read, you know, kind of a thing.
What does this remind you of?
Exactly.
Or think back of an experience that this relates to.
Good.
Or anything like that.
And so reading it the second time is actually could be employed as a thoughtful method is we read it, you observe and say, that one didn't hit home. Let's read that one again, not to place any blame upon learners that they're not getting it the first time. But sometimes, I know at least for me, I need to read things two or three times, but it's the observation and then knowing how to proceed from there. That's where the spirit driving comes in. It's great.
Yes.
Another important thing I believe here with look for is I can direct that experience as a teacher. I might have a certain purpose. Obviously, I have a purpose for them going to that scripture. So I'm wanting them to look for something. I'm wanting them to get a certain thing out of that. But I don't want to necessarily tell them that this is the only thing you can get out of that verse.
All right.
Either.
Good.
So I've got to say, when I use a look for, I oftentimes say, now, what else are you seeing in
Good.
This verse? Because I had something in mind, and I'm glad you found it. But what did the Lord have in mind for you to find here too that maybe I wasn't aware of but that you found?
Good.
Because the Spirit spoke to you about a certain element of that verse that you want to bring out. And that's
sure.
important too.
Good. What are some other things that we could look at as varieties that you have found in your experience, different types of method that engage learners? Let's shift a little bit. Let's go to adults. Suppose we're teaching a gospel doctrine class or a Relief Society class or a priesthood quorum or group. In that case, what is something that we could do to help those learners engage in an experience? Just something you found success with. It stands out and say, oh, you know, I found that this has helped a lot. Something that may be different than what we've already discussed.
I am an advocate for writing.
Okay.
And whether that's take a moment at the beginning of the lesson and write a question that you have, or I think it's okay to change up the method and start with writing and maybe end with writing.
Okay.
You know, take a moment and write down what you've learned today through the Spirit.
That would be at the end,
perhaps. Write down something that you have decided to change in your own life that you can take home to your families. You know,
give me
anything
an example
like
of writing at the beginning. So
sure.
What might they do at that at the beginning?
Take a moment and write about your questions. Last Sunday, I taught about the millennium.
Okay.
Take a moment and write down what you already know and what questions you have regarding the millennium. It gets their mind thinking, before we start to read from the manual, before we start to discuss anything that way. Good. It gets their mind thinking about what they want to know and what they've had.
Now, let me back up a little bit, Erica. This is really good. What was your purpose of, like, let's say, doing that? You're using a method, which is a great method, I think. But obviously, you have a purpose in mind as a teacher of, I'm going to start with this. What were you thinking there?
My thought was, so often we have these things that people think they've heard many, many, many times. And to help them realize that there are things that they do know and things that they are still interested in hearing more about or learning more about. And I think it was just to pique their interest more to want to discuss and talk about it.
Good. Good.
Maybe it's to create a state of preparedness to receive more too.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
I mean, the Lord oftentimes prepares us to then give us more, which then prepares us to give us more, and so on and so forth. And so as teachers, we want to prepare the class members to receive
more. That's
a
great concept. But isn't that also a method? Is preparation, is the larger method, is I need to prepare for something to come down. And I love what you're saying, because the Lord does do that, right? So then the question is how might I prepare individuals to receive what's coming next? Whether it's adult or anyone, right? Am I hearing
you
that
bet.
Correctly?
I don't think there's any one way to prepare people. Again, we're going to find a variety of methods to do that. But
because we have a variety of learners.
But relevancy seems to be something consistent in that. If I can bring it to them and make it relevant to them, that seems to prepare people quicker than anything else, and certainly quicker than something that's gimmicky.
Now, I almost agree with everything that you said. There's only one part that I would maybe change, and that's the word seems to be. I'd say it is. I mean, relevancy doesn't seem to be, and I know you agree with this.
Yeah, absolutely.
If there isn't a relevancy, then all of a sudden it's dismissed. It's ethereal, it's theory, it's nothing that's really real because it's not relevant. So I think that this is a really great undergirding core for methods, is these must be relevant experiences to bring people into the learning. Otherwise, they'll probably be not just resistant, but they may be apathetic about it.
Another thing that I like to do too is draw upon what they already know, because many of us already have experiences with certain principles or doctrines of the gospel, and we already know some things about this. And so I like to think, what can I draw on that they already know? For example, I did something with an adult class a few years ago that has just forever stayed in my mind as a great experience, and that is I held up the picture of the angel Moroni visiting Joseph Smith in his bedroom. I had them share the story with each other. I paired them up. I said, someone's sitting next to you. I want you to share the story. But what I want you to do is I want each of you take one line and you just kind of follow the other person's, you know, someone's going to start the story. Another person's going to take over after the first sentence and give the second sentence of the story, and just to see where that story leads them. And they were having so much fun that, I mean, I had to stop them and say, okay, now, why are we talking about this story, and what happened on that
good
night, and what was Joseph Smith taught, and why is that important to us? And that just really led in because everyone is engaged.
Good. Give me some ideas about suppose I'm thinking I'd like to have a little more active participation, maybe meaning expressions as one of my tools or one of the things I'd like to use. Give me some ideas how I might, as a teacher, invite others to express, to share, either with each other, with the class, etc. Any methods or that could be used in inviting that?
Once again, I said I'm an advocate of writing, but I think a lot of people are hesitant to discuss their thoughts if they're not fully thought out.
Right.
And so if you invite them to write their thoughts first,
okay,
and then maybe even share them in smaller groups where they can get that assurance from their neighbor that they said something worthwhile, and then you can ask for volunteers, you know, for the whole class. But oftentimes when they can write what they're thinking and get it down like they like before
good
they have to verbalize it, it helps.
You know, this is really good. As a matter of fact, I think sometimes those who tend to respond quickly are those who are quick thinkers, or they give, with all due respect, what I used to call Sunday school answers, the you know what I want to hear or what I'm supposed to say, and they can just spit those out just like that. I've used this method, and I like this method a lot, actually. I found at the university when I'm teaching, a lot of times I'll ask them to write first, and then they often will discuss with each other and talk together, and then I'll say, okay, anyone willing to share with the class? What do you got here? what I found was it increases that engagement in a way because everyone's writing in different ways where they feel comfortable. And some may not want to share, and that's fine. But what I found in my experience was when I had maybe the 5 to 7 typical students that always responded to everything the whole time, now I upped it into about 27, 37 started really responding. And I think it's what you're saying. They feel comfortable because they're prepared. They don't feel on the spot. They've thought it through, and now they can articulate and voice it. So this is a nice
one. They've been
one.
Validated oh, once already.
Nicely said.
Because I think often, especially if you're uncomfortable with your gospel knowledge and afraid that you might say something wrong, you've already been validated by another person where you can then offer it to the group and know you're okay.
Good. You know, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but I think this is kind of humorous in a way, is a lot of times we'll say, what do you have? Anyone willing to share? Is many cases people will say, well, you know what Brenda wrote? Is they don't share necessarily what they have written, not because they don't think that's important, but they obviously have learned something from Brenda and it was meaningful that they want to share. Oh, Brenda. Wow. Way to go, Brenda. So this is really nice.
You know, another thing that you can do too is you can even ask for that. You can say, share something that your neighbor shared with you that impressed you. And another thing that I like to do is if I put them in a small group to work on something and to come up with something, I'll say something like, come together as a group and determine what you feel is a good response to this or how you would answer this question, what have you. And then pick somebody to represent the group. And so then they're sharing something that they have kind of come to together. And that's another way to do that.
You know, this is causing me to feel like we should just end this right now and run out and find some people that we could have a learning and teaching experience, because I'd like to try a lot of these. We sadly are running short on time, but I wanted to touch upon something that I think is very important. You are sharing a lot of great methods. And actually, as I'm listening to you talk, you're sharing something, and whether we realize this or not, there might be actually 5 or 6 or 7 methods in that one little sharing experience of building by asking a question and building upon, or showing a visual. We didn't talk much about visuals or tactile learning or discovery experiences, all these different methods. And so here we're talking about these things, and there might be some that are saying, oh, well, that's because you have years of experience. But here's a question, and maybe this is where we can at least wind down our thoughts, because we could spend a lot of time on this when I wish we could. Where can individuals go to find ideas? Where can they go? What are the resources available for those who say, well, I don't have that teaching experience, or, you know, I've been a member of the church, because I run into this quite a bit when I go out in the world. I've been a member 3 weeks, and now I'm the gospel doctrine teacher. I'm struggling with content, let alone teaching and learning methods. Where can we help people or direct people to find ideas, these great ideas that we're talking about? Maybe I can give them your cell phone numbers and they can call you directly, the hotline, the yes. Learning and teaching hotline. But besides that, where else? Where are some places? What are some avenues or resources that we could direct? Any ideas on this?
I think first, start talking to the other teachers in your ward.
Okay.
Because they're teaching the same individuals that you're teaching, and they're finding out what's working. And, you know, counsel together. See what they're doing. Ask them what have they ever taught this before? What did they do?
That might take courage, because a lot of us are hesitant to talk to other people because it exposes us that we don't know exactly what we're doing. And teaching is such a private experience that we don't want anyone to know that we don't know what we're doing. But I agree completely. But be brave, because probably 87 to 99% of the time, everybody else is in the same boat and they would love to talk. I that's the way I feel.
Well, as we started out too, we discussed that the church has produced some very good stuff. We have the Teaching No Greater Call manual itself has a list of methods that you can use. And some of them, it even says, others you may never use.
Right.
You may never use them, but it will spur something that you could use. I think in the lesson manuals themselves, in any institute or seminary manuals, there's different methods that you can learn from and, as you said, glean from. And springboard you into something that you could do for yourself.
Great.
And look what the Savior did. He looked around and saw things in everyday life and brought that to the level of those that were hearing his words. And he used a variety of methods, but he also used a variety of objects, instructional objects around him to teach. And I think if you just open your eyes, you'll see it on your way to work or in the home or wherever you're at. You'll see different things that you can bring right into your teaching.
And the nice thing about that, once again, is that he was using objects that were obviously familiar to those he was teaching. They were relevant. They were real time. They were realistic, and they were applicable. And so that's really good. I'd also like to mention, I think that there's a lot of good resources now available on the internet, primarily LDS.org. I think there's a treasure trove of material. Sometimes it's difficult to find all those treasures, but there are plenty of things there. I know, Brian, that you've worked a lot with some of those elements. Anything just right off the top of your head?
Well, the Teaching the Gospel website and also General Conference, the brethren are giving a lot of great object lessons or visuals or what have you, stories that you can use. If you look to General Conference as a source, you'll see a lot of great teaching ideas right in there.
Excellent. I would encourage all of us, parents, those who are called to teach in formal settings, leaders are teachers actually. Sometimes we do great teaching or not very good teaching over the pulpit. But all of us to be able to look into these resources. I love the Teaching the Gospel website. There's a lot more on that than just the manuals, so to speak. That's a great resource. That's one variety, or to get the variety. Other elements, small video clips that we can see, prophets, seers, and revelators from General Conference giving learning and teaching tips that help us not just in content, but how we can use a variety of different ways to be able to teach. I don't really feel that many people are out there, they're saying, there's nothing for us, there's no help, there's a lot of help, but it is helpful to help people to see where to go.
Well, and don't be afraid to step outside of your specific calling, remaining with church materials, but look at the Family Home Evening Manual. Look at the Seminary Manual. These things can help you
Teaching
with
No Greater Call.
Exactly.
And also Preach My Gospel is
Definitely.
One other source. Good.
The Sharing Time outlines, too, are so creative that they'll get you thinking about what are the different ideas that I can take in, even though I might not be teaching a primary age class. They'll get you thinking creatively, that's for sure.
Oh, I've used some of those methods actually in gospel doctrine, and they work great. They work great.
They're wonderful. And you can access them, as you said, online. You don't have to have the actual manual there. You can get so much online.
Well, thank you so much for all of your thoughts and your help on this. I think that there really is a great blessing that comes when we have the opportunity to talk about gospel principles. It really supports the things that are most meaningful in our lives. And really, when we talk about learning and teaching, it's the opportunity to come together, even in this setting. For me, this was like a mini classroom for me. This is what it's about. And some people say, oh, no, we don't have a chalkboard here or a whiteboard in our studio. That doesn't define learning and teaching. This is the experience. Family home evening, same principles employed in a family home evening, family scripture study, the same experience, constantly looking at a variety of methods, not simply to make it exciting, but to make it relevant, applicable, and livable and fun. Well, when it's fun, then we enjoy the experience, and I think that that's the best part about it. I think I would even be brave enough to go as far as saying the gospel of Jesus Christ is a lot of fun because it actually makes life worth living in wondrous ways. And so I thank you. Yeah, I appreciate all that you have done. You have been listening to Teaching No Greater Call on the Mormon Channel. This program is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We encourage you to visit other sites brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that encourage learning and teaching in a variety of ways.